We're going to consider this evening in verse 4 the second statement here about love is kind. Charity suffereth long and is kind. In verses 4 through 8, when the apostle describes the behavior of love or the practice of love, he gives us 15 different virtues or descriptions of what love does. And the first two belong together. We know that they belong together for two reasons. These are two positive ones that he states up front before he says things that it's not. It doesn't envy. It doesn't vaunt itself and so on. But he begins with two positive statements. Charity suffereth long and charity is kind. Then we also know that they belong together because he doesn't use the noun charity to introduce the second phrase. He simply says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Suffering long is patience. And kindness and patience are belonging together. Two sides, we could say, of the one coin. This is not the only place in the apostles' writings that we find these two virtues placed alongside one another. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, when Paul is defending his ministry, he says that his ministry was approved of by God among those whom he ministered in this way, verse 6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, that's patience, and by kindness, by long-suffering and kindness. And then in Galatians chapter 5, where the apostle lists the fruits of the Spirit, these are together again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and then long-suffering, gentleness. Gentleness is kindness. He puts them together. And then if you turn to Romans 12, you see something similar, though there he doesn't speak specifically or name specifically patience and kindness. But he says this at the end of Romans chapter 12, in the context of being mistreated. He says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And then this, be not overcome of evil. In other words, endure it, be patient with it. But overcome evil with good. That is, overcome it with kindness. Be patient and then kind. In long-suffering or patience, we exercise self-restraint when we are tested or irritated by another. That is, we restrain ourselves. Now, kindness is the positive. It is the active. In kindness, we not only restrain ourselves, hold back from saying something, hold back from confronting or getting irritated in an outward way, or hold back from anger, but we show love in kindness now, and we show grace in kindness towards those who test us. Kindness goes beyond patience to activity. In my preparation of this sermon, one of the Bible dictionaries defined kindness this way, very simply, gentleness in behavior. That's kindness. Gentleness in behavior. It's active. It's something we do. And that comes out in the root idea of the word itself. The word for kindness here, or love is kind, has literally the idea of being useful or helpful. When you're useful or helpful, then you put yourself forward in service. You put yourself into the service of others. And that's really what kindness is. Love, the biblical idea of love is that it's willful, agape love. It's something that you will or you desire or you choose to do. Now, kindness is to willfully put yourself into the service of someone else. Kind has the idea of gentle. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Matthew 11, verse 30, the most tender gospel call. The most tender gospel call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The word that Jesus uses there to describe his yoke is from the same root as this word, kindness. My yoke is easy. He means it'll be kind to you. It won't be heavy, it won't be harsh, it won't hurt or injure you. It will benefit you. My yoke is easy, kind. When we think of kindness or think of someone who's kind, we think of beauty. We think of beauty. Because this is what makes one beautiful in character. A child has a toy. Another child wants the toy. And the little child says, or doesn't even speak yet, just hands it to the other. And we say, now that was beautiful. And so of the beautiful woman, the virtuous woman, in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26, we read that the law of kindness is in her lips. That is, her words are governed by this principle, kindness. And indeed, these are the character of the words of the Savior as they're described for us prophetically in Psalm chapter 45, verse 2, speaking of the groom of the church, Jesus Christ. It says, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured out, or grace is poured into thy lips. Kindness, gentleness in action, willful or willfully placing yourself in the service of another. We can think of the expressions of kindness in three dimensions, or the duty of kindness in three dimensions, three ways in which we all live in responsibility and obligation before God. In our thoughts, in our desire, and in our action. Kindness in thoughts. This has to do with the attitude of your heart. A kind person, a kind heart, is a gentle, good-natured, soft heart towards others. The person who's kind has pity that yearns for another who is in distress. That's kindness. And then there's kindness not only in thinking and attitude, but also kindness in desire and will. Kindness desires the well-being of another, and so this pity turns into mercy, which is activity, and it wants the well-being of the other, so that Philippians chapter 2, we not only esteem others better than ourselves and put their needs before our own, but we give ourselves in service with the mind of Jesus Christ, who sacrificially came and took our sin on Himself. Willing. And they're doing. The acts of kindness spring in word and deed from the thinking and the will. If we don't think kindly, if we don't seek the well-being of another, our behavior will be unkind. Now, I want to think with you this evening specifically about how this comes to expression in our behavior, how to be kind, as it were. What does it mean for you and for me in our lives, in the little details of our lives, to be kind? And it's good for us to think about this and to think about it from a biblical point of view and some of the things that the Bible puts forth or it says to us about kindness and how that comes to expression. How do we be kind? It's important that we develop in these areas. And that we think about these things, and that we teach our children these things, to be kind. Love is kind. There is kindness, first of all, in simple greetings. Kindness in simple greetings. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, kissing may not be the way that we greet one another, but this is what the apostle's talking about here. Greeting. And he's telling the church at Corinth, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to greet one another. There may be familiarity, but greet one another with a holy kiss. And so we can put this into practice in our homes. We certainly put it into practice in the church. Greet one another. That's kindness. It's a simple way of showing kindness. Paul, in the epistle that he wrote to the Romans, chapter 16, lists off one after the other, by name, different people to whom he sends greetings and salutations. This is kindness. Greeting. That's verbal. In the second place, kindness is expressed in nonverbal ways. A smile, a kind face. Don't we look for a smile from another across the room sometimes to know that we have a place in the heart of the other? That's what a smile tells you. A person with a dour face and a hanging head and slumped shoulders who won't greet you, there's no kindness in that. Proverbs 15:13 speaks of a cheerful countenance. And indeed, Numbers chapter 6 speaks of God's own countenance shining on us. That's a kind face of God towards us. Nonverbal. Other nonverbal ways that we show kindness? Giving attention, listening. Here's a kind husband. Here's a kind father. He listens to his wife. He gives an ear to his children. Let's not think that something as insignificant as a nonverbal expression is not important, is not an expression of love. Love is kind. Greet. Listen. Smile. But of course, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that to our words and conversation. In our words and conversation, we, in kindness, will praise another, will speak well of another, will show interest in another, will encourage another. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11 says that the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. That means it's life-giving to the hearer, to the others. Proverbs 31, the law of kindness again is in her lips. And in contrast, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. In contrast to that, I say, are the words of the apostle that immediately proceed, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good to the use of edifying, and be ye kind. Words that are good to the use of edifying. Colossians 4, 6, Paul exhorts the saints in Colossae to speak with grace seasoned with salt. Seasoned words. Still another way that we show kindness is in our manners. And there's something different about manners than nonverbal communication. Manners are quite deliberate. They may be nonverbal, but manners have to do with the way that we treat others, respect authority, show deference towards the elderly. We show to others by our manners that we honor their presence. We honor their presence, that they're important to us. We're not going to treat them as though they're not there or they're unimportant. We acknowledge. We give deference. Certainly we teach this to our children. Be kind. But then there's kindness also in actions. And I said that's what kindness is. It's gentleness in action. We reach out to those in need. We give. We visit. We help. We call. We text, we're not selfish when it comes to the needs of others. And certainly Jesus in his ministry emphasizes this. Let me give you a few examples. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee. And from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. This is kindness. To give to those who ask. To give beyond what they ask. Gentleness in action. And then you think of the parable that Jesus told that we call the parable of the Good Samaritan, the traveler. And he finds this man beaten on the road and others have passed him by. And then we read this in Luke 10 verse 33. And there's a whole series of verbs here to emphasize the activity of this good Samaritan. He had compassion on him. He bound up his wounds. He poured in oil. He set him on his own beast. He brought him to an inn. He took care of him. He took out 2 pence. He gave them to the host. He said to him, whatever else you need, get in touch with me. This is kindness in action. Or think of something very simple that Jesus speaks of. A cup of cold water in my name. What does that tell us? You don't have to go to Haiti or somewhere else that's affected by a storm or an earthquake in order to be kind. It's the expressions of your behavior towards one another in your daily life. We say to our children, share. It's the expressions of kindness in your daily interactions. A cup of cold water in my name. We especially show kindness in our, not actions now, but reactions. Our reactions. When we disagree. When we're wronged. When another tests us. When we find another irritating. Jesus says then, this is the way the law of kindness will govern your behavior. Turn the other cheek. Don't respond in like manner. Love your enemies. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Our reactions. Love is kind. There's one more thing that we must say about kindness, and it's this. It doesn't always appear pleasant. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes in kindness, we have to deal with sin. Sometimes in kindness, we have to deal with sin. The Bible talks about this. Psalm 141, verse 5. Let him that is righteous smite me, it shall a kindness be. Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6 talk about the faithful wounds of a friend. Now, of course, they're governed by kindness, aren't they? But sometimes they hurt. And then you think of the way that we have to deal with our children in their sin. Of course, in kindness to them, we must discipline them. We must deal with their sinful conduct. We must seek their repentance. We must seek reconciliation and forgiveness as we deal with our children. That's kind. It's unkind to leave them in their sin. This is kindness. And there's a kindness in what Jesus talks about in Matthew 18 as well, when he says, your brother offends you, then go. Deal with it with him. Yes, there's an unkindness in the spread of it. Did you hear what he did to me? Here's kindness. Go to him. Love is kind. The pattern. The pattern, of course, is the gentleness and the tenderness, the kindness of God towards us in Jesus Christ. This word kindness describes the heart of God towards his elect. You think of the beautiful psalm that's written, Psalm 23, that speaks of the care of the good shepherd who, in his tenderness, makes us to lie down in green pastures, leads us beside still waters, restores our souls, is with us in the valley of the shadow of death, feeds us in the presence of our enemies, and with goodness and mercy leads us to our home everlasting. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 describes the incarnation, Jesus coming into the world this way. The kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared. The kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared. That's the pattern, isn't it? Think of the kindness and tenderness of Jesus himself in his earthly ministry. He didn't hobnob with the rich and the famous, but he looked to the disadvantaged, the publicans and the sinners. He spoke to a Samaritan woman despised by the Jews. She was shocked. He spoke to the woman caught in adultery. Go thy way, sin no more, neither do I condemn thee. There was tenderness with which he received the children whom the disciples thought would be of no profit to him. Go away, they said. Think of him taking Jairus' daughter's hand, 12 years old, and speaking to her, little girl, get up, arise. Or think of him when he was injured by his own Peter. And he says to Peter, I've prayed for thee. And then the tender restoration. Peter, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Now I describe that for us, the tenderness of God and the tenderness of our Savior, not just to put that before us as something to admire from a distance, but think of how God's Word says, or what God's Word says about this with regard to our experience. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 verse 3, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Don't you know the tenderness of the Good Shepherd? Every believer says, he's been so kind to me. What mercy, what love, what tenderness, what thoughts, what will, what action for me. You've tasted that the Lord is gracious. And so Ephesians 4 says, even as God in Christ, what? Be kind one to another. Even as God in Christ. Every day is a sinner. This is my experience anew. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me. Love is kind. You see, that experience is what transforms us. That experience is the possibility when we describe the tenderness and the kindness of God. We're not just describing an abstract, but we're describing what we know, what transforms us, what changes us as recipients of the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Love is kind. May the Spirit of God produce that in us. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. It is a convicting word. It's a necessary word. But it's also a word that helps us to see the blessing of living under the gospel in our relationships, in our homes, and in this way enjoying the peace and the harmony that there is in the love of Jesus Christ. Bless Thy Word to our hearts, to our homes, as we go home. May this be a conversation with our children. Love is kind. Also, as we set before them the great example of the Savior and His love for us. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.